Now, verse 20, we have the objective work of Christ for sinners from verses 20 through 23. Now, let's look at this, because here we have the things that he's done for us. Will you notice? And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, this is a very important verse, and I'd have you note it here, because there are certain things we want to look at. He made peace through the blood of his cross. That means that by his paying the penalty on the cross for your sin and my sin, that it's made peace between God and the sinner, so that God today is not approaching man on the basis of saying, look here, fella, I'm against you. You've been rebelling against me, and you're a sinner, and I'm going to have to punish you. No, God is saying to the lost sinner today, and to you and me, he said, I've already borne the punishment. I've already paid the penalty. And I'm saying to you today that you can come to me. And if you come to me, then there's peace. There's been peace made. And that's what Paul meant in Romans 5:1 when he said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ever notice that peace here has been made through the blood of his cross, that's an interesting statement. And you'll notice that Paul puts forgiveness of sin along with the blood of the cross. You see, God today is not a disagreeable neighbor that's waiting around the corner to pounce on you and to find fault with you. God has his arms outstretched, and he's saying to the sinner, he says, come, and I'll give you a redemption rest. And now he goes on to say something else here that's very important, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you see, when God forgives, it's always because the penalty has been paid. God never forgives until the penalty has been paid. Penalty has been paid for your sin. Therefore, God can forgive you. And now, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Now, that word reconciliation. Reconciliation is toward man. Redemption is toward God. In other words, what God is saying to the sinner today, he says, and Paul says, that we're ambassadors for Christ, and we beseech you that you be reconciled to God. Well, let's see just how Paul said that. Over in 2 Corinthians 5:18, he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, that is exactly what God is saying to man today. God says, I'm reconciled to you. Will you be reconciled to me? And that is the thing. A great many people say you've got to do something to win God over. My friend, God's trying to win you over. The shoe's on the other foot. God today is asking man to be reconciled. He is reconciled. But now, here's a statement that causes some people to get the foolish and fond notion that everybody's going to be saved, because it says, by him to reconcile all things to himself. And they dwell on that a great deal. I don't know why people don't pay a little more attention to the grammar that is here. And I think if we'd listen to grammar, and maybe a little to Grandpa for that matter, but we ought to listen to grammar. And here, he'll reconcile all things. Well, now, what are the all things? Well, it's actually limited to the all things that are to be reconciled, that are appointed for reconciliation. Now, I can give you a verse that I think might be helpful in this particular connection. Over in Philippians 3:8, Paul says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now listen, he says here, I count all things but loss. What are the all things here? That means everything in the world? No. I count all things that he had to lose. And he had already enumerated them, the pluses that he had in his life, the religious pluses that he had, and he'd already enumerated them. And those are the all things. Paul couldn't lose something he didn't have. And therefore, it's those things that he could lose. Now, what is it here, the all things? Well, it's the all things that are appointed for reconciliation. Now he says here, and he limits it, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now that's another statement that interests me a great deal, and I'll tell you why. Because of the fact that we have here something that's quite interesting. He doesn't say things under the earth. Now, a moment ago, I gave you Ephesians 1:22, you'll recall. And he hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things in the church. Now, what are the all things that are going to be? Well, over in Philippians, he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Now, everything is going to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus, but that doesn't mean they're all reconciled, because he mentions here just the things in earth and things in heaven. Doesn't mention things under the earth. My friend, don't listen to this deception today, this siren song that, well, it's all going to work out. We can just depend on God being nice and sweet. He'd be a nice, pleasant little old lady, and I don't mean to be irreverent, but he's just going to be nice and sweet to everybody, and you can depend on that. My friend, don't bank on that, because the things that are reconciled are things in heaven and earth, not under the earth. Under the earth, we'll have to bow to him, but they're not reconciled to him at all. This is the place, and this is the life that we're to be reconciled to God. This is a tremendous verse, as you can see.